This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis. If you wondered why I hadn't released a podcast, or at least I'm late, I had a computer crash and lost a lot of episodes, and this was one of them that I had recorded. But my guest today is Brad Williams, and he was gracious enough to re-record this with me. So I really appreciate that. This is Brad Williams, and he hosts his own podcast called Over 40 Fitness Hacks. I can't remember, Brad, if you reached out to me initially or what, but anytime I see that title, you know, fitness hacks, that gets my attention. And so always interested to talk to people who have similar interests. And so we're just going to talk to him about what he does, what he's learned, and some of the people he's interviewed on his own podcast. And I will actually be appearing on his podcast sometime later. So Brad, welcome to the show again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again, Dr. Greg, and, happy to do this again. Plus we had such a great time last time. This is so much easier and we could go down different rabbit holes this time. Sorry to the audience. We're going to miss out on some of the topics probably that we discussed. I can't even remember, but, I can talk about this all day. And, just like you said, I reached out to you and we're kind of in the same playing field of looking at longevity and health and wellness, more so for you and your field with longevity. I'm just barely kind of getting into that the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, let's start there and I guess kind of talk about that. And so you have this podcast, and so just talk about kind of your history, how you got into this lifestyle, and then how that, got you into doing this podcast. And then we can talk kind of more about what you focus on there and that kind of thing. But just tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah. So born and raised in Central California. I'm 43 now. My father was a medical doctor. Mom was a nurse. So we kind of, me, my brother, and my sister always kind of had that healthy upbringing, or at least what we thought was healthy at the time. Right. And throughout the years, always been into athletics, soccer, weightlifting. And after graduating from Long Beach State and many, various jobs, always knew I wanted to open up my own business. My brother wanted to jump in as well. So eventually, back in 2011, decided I wanted to be in the health and wellness field as a personal trainer. So I had already had my certifications. I'd been training people. And we just went in and jumped in. So back in 2011, I opened up my first gym, Evolve Gym, in Huntington Beach, California. Through there, we kind of ran a semi-private training style where, at the time after the 2008 market crash, not everyone could afford the private training anymore. So we kind of downplayed it a little bit, spread it out by doing semi-private, which we would train 3 to 4 people at the same time, not a boot camp class, everyone's on their own program, but you would just share the trainer. And, I did very well with that over the years and got 2 more locations over the next 10 years. And, my kind of stick was always, besides the semi-private training, it was more of, training the over 40 crowd. And I think that was in our area, just mostly who could afford, training, but got very well versed in that. And, many years later, I turned 40 myself and I started my podcast, Over 40 Fitness Hacks, with the whole theme being, I'm a personal trainer. I've got that mindset that I'm going to hustle and bustle and, be healthy, but I also want to look and feel the part as well. And lo and behold, over 40, oh my God, is it so hard to stay in shape, or at least what I wanted it, from what I had in my 20s and 30s. So it was kind of funny because all the clients I had over the years, I'm pushing them. I'm a younger trainer, kind of a little naive, and pushing them a little harder. You need to diet better and work out more days. And now I'm in the same boat as them. So that's kind of the whole theme of my podcast is, you know, I'm that personal trainer. I refuse to quit and just give in to the aging process. And through the last 3.5 years of doing this, you know, I've had some injuries as well, non-related to working out, but from just being a gym owner and moving equipment around and end up hurting my lower back. So I've kind of had a whole new mindset on life and health and wellness of just not, you know, aesthetics, but just longevity, even more into functional health, you know, worrying about injuries in my back. And it's just so much now to work smarter, not harder. So that's kind of like the overall theme of the last 15 years of my life and what I'm doing with my podcast.
All right. Very nice. And when did you say you started the podcast?
3.5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So with what you've learned, I guess personally, because it sounds like you've been in kind of fitness for a while, and now that you're in your 40s, and I mean, you're pretty still pretty young in my book. Wait till you turn 50, but you're gonna have to have a new podcast.
Yeah, I'll have to change
over
it.
50. Yes, but what would you say is the main things that you've had to change personally, or maybe that you've had to change for clients as they get into their 40s and, you know, even their 50s.
Yeah. So one is there's multiple aspects of it, and that's how you have to kind of attack it. There's not one size fits all and one theme for everything. But one thing is just slowing down. You know, we're not in our 20s, 30s. We're not getting paid millions of dollars to be a NFL athlete. We don't need to train like that anymore. So one of the things I learned, especially after my horrible back injury, was slowing things down, focusing more on mind body connection, and doing more time under tension. So I preach that all the time. And time under tension, you can call it slow motion, you know, negative training, but basically you're just cutting the weight in half, doing the same exercises, any exercise, and instead of finishing that rep of whatever you're doing in 1 to 3 seconds, you take it down to like 5 to 10 seconds, and you really focus on the muscle groups. You really benefit from all that time under tension because, you know, growing in our field of personal training, our goal is to build you lean muscle mass and raising your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, so you can keep fat off easier. And you can still do that with half the weight of what you think you had to do, you know, when you were younger, that you had to throw away all this weight around and progressive overload and just get as big as you can. You can still get as big as you want safely and functionally with, you know, half the weight and slowing things down. So that's number one. And there's so many other aspects we can go down to of, you know, I put everything in buckets where, you know, one bucket is, you know, working out and movement. That's just one. You know, now obviously diet and nutrition is another one, but then sleep, stress, inflammation, all those things come into play. And we probably ignored a lot of that in our 20s and 30s because we were, you know, going so fast paced, and we probably were having issues, and, you know, we didn't really recognize them then because we still had the results we were looking for. You know, years later, when I was 35, I started getting all these different allergies, the medicines and foods. And, you know, that's what they say. It starts happening in your mid 30s and 40s. So now my whole mindset is you have to look at everything in health and wellness. And now, like we talked about before, longevity, you know, now I'm not just looking to, you know, have a ripped six pack for the rest of my life. I don't care too much about that. I care about, you know, my goal is to hit, you know, 120. So these are all the things that I talk about on my podcast and, you know, that I'm testing with myself and I'm just really passionate about it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think kind of going along with what you're saying is, as I've, you know, kind of been aging and I'm not really an athlete, but I'm a fitness fanatic for sure. But you have to pay more attention and not just in the gym, but outside the gym. Whereas, like you said, when we're in our 20s, I mean, I could do whatever. I can stay out late, have drinks late in the evening. I could eat at midnight and, you know, go to bed and I still sleep fine. And that's just not the case now. And so over the years, that's probably the biggest change I've noticed is I just have to pay more attention. I can still feel really good, still have plenty of energy, still get good sleep, but I have to just pay closer attention than what I used to. I can't eat a bedtime snack. I can't go out drinking late with buddies. If I do, I'm going to get crap sleep and I'm not going to feel good tomorrow. And, you know, I'm not going to have the best workout tomorrow. Whereas before, those kind of things never affected me. So, I just think you have to, you know, pay closer attention, basically.
And I think we were just kind of numb to all those things in our
For
younger
sure.
years, and now it's surfacing because we're slowing down, we're aging, it's just happening. It sucks, it's not fair, but now we're starting to feel those things and see those things. And the funny thing is, when you start working on all these different aspects of health and wellness, you start seeing the results, you feel a lot better. But then if you start cheating again or not getting your sleep or whatever, the effects are
Kills on
even
you,
worse
for
than where
sure.
they were when you were ignoring them, which is not, it's even more unfair, right? But it's just your body finally getting into that homeostasis and it's telling you, no, you are not going back to those old ways. You got to do what you got to do.
For sure. Well, talk about your podcast a little bit. So you started this over 40 fitness hacks. Talk about, you know, what you do on there, maybe some of the guests you've had on there, some of the things you've learned on there. I know that's a lot of questions, but
So I kind of themed it, over 40 fitness hacks. Hacks is kind of a more trendy term than just fitness tips. So, I mean, that's all it is. But my whole mindset of the show is, I'm a personal trainer for the last 15 years. I've got all that in my backseat, but now I'm focused a little bit more on working smarter, not harder. Also longevity and experimenting with a lot of stuff. And, some of the people I've had on my show are ranging from doctors who, help you with breathing protocols, meditation. I've had some longevity doctors on the show, and everything is just absorbing what's out there. And some of this stuff is so new, we can't put all our faith in it, right? But just to bring it to light, that's the best part of being in this podcasting world, is just talking to experts all around the world, and just knowing some of this stuff even exists. So, then I take with, what I like to do, and I always, kind of bounce it off my medical professional just to make sure I'm doing everything right and not hurting myself. But, I'm real into intermittent fasting, some long fasting, playing with different micro minerals. I've had a person on my show that really talked about how deficient in magnesium and more so even potassium that all of us Americans are. And I told you last time on our last episode, so I'll put it out there again. One of the cool hacks I give to the public is, do your own research, but if you just check the RDAs on some of these micro minerals of calcium, magnesium, potassium, just kind of use that, bounce it off your healthcare professional. And go to this website called eatthismuch.com. And when you go to that website, you start typing in some of the foods you're eating, it'll tell you everything that's in there. When normally our nutrition labels on things we buy from the store, they don't have to put everything, just what the FDA says they have to put. And a lot of times they don't put potassium on there, which is insane to me. But if you go to that website, start typing things in, it'll tell you how much of the, macros and micros of all the food products you're eating, whether it's raw form or cooked. So then you make yourself a little chart, and sure enough, like the person I had on my show mentioned, I was extremely deficient in magnesium, and potassium was by far the worst. And just from fixing that, boosting my potassium naturally with, foods better than supplements, and kind of lowering my sodium a little bit, all of a sudden, potassium helps push water weight out of your cells and or into your cells and out of, your skin, and that getting that bloated feeling. And not only that, but lowering my blood pressure. So those are just kind of the things that, I've been learning, and little hacks to try to, get you to that optimized body. And when you have an optimized body, everything just starts feeling better, working better, and lo and behold, you get some of the aesthetics you're looking for.
What are some, and you may not think of any, and that's okay, but are, you know, most people, or at least my listeners, are familiar with intermittent fasting, and you know, we talked about that. But with all the people you interview, are there some more, I guess, kind of fringe biohacks that are maybe way outside the box that you were surprised about, and that maybe you even have tried yourself and like, oh man, that's pretty cool.
So the intermittent fasting, I think, is one of the best things that I've done, and the longer fasting. One of the new things I tried, I had just started cold plunging, and I think when I was talking to you on your show, I was maybe a week in, and I finished about a month and a half of that.
Well, good for you.
And it got down to, for me, 50 degrees in the water source that I'm using. And I did feel that I got my blood work done to see any results I see in there. Nothing really changed. My testosterone went up a little bit. My testosterone went up way more when I was doing my longer fasting, like
Oh,
36-hour
interesting.
fasting, and I was doing it every other week or every 3 weeks for about a 3 month course. So a little bit better on the fasting than the cold plunging, but as far as just how my body felt, I mean, all my aches, injuries, my lower back just, kind of took it to another level. It's just, what's the price you got to pay to suffer in that fr
Yeah,
freezing cold water? So
right.
I figure I'm a seasonal cold plunger now.
Good for you. Yeah, I think we probably talked about this. When it's really popular now. I mean, I'm surprised at the number of people that are telling me that they're, getting in their cold water or whatever. And I don't know how it's gotten so popular. I know, Gary Brecka, I don't know if you listen to him, but he seems to be all over the place and he's a big advocate of cold plunge. I don't know if it's him, but I was doing it, I guess, back when it wasn't cool. It's cool now, pardon the pun, but gosh, 3 or 4 years ago, and I started doing it, and everyone thought I was nuts. I mean, and now, like I said, I feel like everybody's trying it, and I've matter of fact, I just had somebody the other day text me, a doctor I used to work with, is like, hey, we got a pool now. I'm gonna start, doing cold plunges, and he was asking me questions and stuff, and I was just like, man, everybody's trying this. So and I actually don't do it as much now as I used to, but I still well, my pool's been frozen solid here lately. We've had a cold front here in
Oh
Oklahoma,
yeah,
but
I bet.
I can't get in. But anyway, I still do it some, so it's fun. Any other ones that, cold plunge, that's a great one, but any other ones that have been kind of different that you've learned through your guests over the years that you've maybe tried personally that you like?
Yeah, so the another kind of theory in the personal training world, if you're into, weight training and going that route, besides, I mentioned time under tension, another one is doing effective reps. And what those are is, not just going to the gym and, I'm going to lift something for 10 to 15 reps, whatever the number is you're picking, and then you get there and you stop. So the whole thing with effective reps is, no, you keep going until your muscles cannot go any longer. Obviously you can't be thrusting or making jerking motions that, to help cheat to get the weight up. As long as it's safe and you can keep going, you keep going. Because that last 20% of what you got left in the tank are gonna be the 80% results that you get as far as raising your lean muscle mass. And that is 100% true. And looking back in the way I used to train, I pushed it a little bit, but never with that kind of mindset. So now you take the whole theory of time under tension, slowing things down. You still get a little bit of progressive overload if you're looking to build more lean muscle and not maintain, but you use that effective rep theory to just really maximize your time in the gym and making it efficient. So now I've kind of worked out a little schedule for myself where I'm working out 3 days a week, 30-minute workouts, and I literally just look at the clock, and as soon as it hits 30 minutes, I walk out the gym.
Interesting.
And you got to make use of your time. I'm not sitting there taking breaks either. I move from machine to machine to machine to machine to try to get as much as I can in, and thus you're building some of your lung power as well, because you're getting a
Yeah.
little bit of aerobic activity doing it that way.
Man, I think that's a great point, and I've been doing more and more of that exact same thing, and I'm guilty in the past of doing exactly what you said, that when I hit get to 10 reps, I'm going to quit because I'm going to do, 10, 8, and 6, and I get there and I just quit because I made it. And a lot of times now I get to the gym, I'm running late, and there are times that I literally may have 20 minutes to work out because, again, I just get around late in the morning, whatever, because I work out in the morning. And I've started doing more of that, and most of it's lighter weight. and higher reps, but I will, because I'm in a hurry, and that's kind of how I discovered this, incidentally, but I'm in a hurry, but I'll go to failure and I'll even go to where I'm doing partial reps, like on a bicep curl, for example. I mean, I can't curl it the whole way, and then I'll just go, 30% till I can't do that anymore, and I'm literally going to complete failure. And as I've kind of analyzed this over the last few months, I'm like, man, I'm staying in pretty good shape, and I'm always, I like being muscular and I'm pretty lean. As long as I'm getting my protein in, and I'm like doing these 20-minute workouts and staying pretty fit. And so I say all that to tell people, you don't, now I wish I had an hour and a half in the gym, but you don't need an hour and a half in the gym. I mean, and if you are, kind of have a targeted mindset in what you're doing, and you go to absolute failure on the muscles that you're training, man, you don't have to be in there very long.
No, and then that's kind of we learn these things when we first started personal training. This was 20 years ago when I got all of my certifications that, you lift heavy, weights safely, you break down that muscle and tear it, and then you build that muscle back. Yeah, that's correct. But the other part they don't tell you is if you can stimulate the muscle in all these different ways that we're talking about, where you don't necessarily have to tear this muscle apart. You stimulate the muscle, you get that hormonal response. Your body is now going to, your brain is telling your body, oh my God, it needs to build more lean muscle mass if we're going to keep doing this kind of thing. So it's a whole different theory than what we, used to learn. So, put a little bit of those together and, create a little routine that works for you. And another thing that's really important, and I've always, talked about this, my whole career is, shocking the body with like different types of workouts. And recently I just saw a research done on like a treadmill test. Someone was doing a treadmill. They figured out the exact amount of calories that they were burning in, a 45-minute session, just walking, fast walking on an incline. And over time, that person was burning less and less calories. It's because his body was getting more efficient and using more oxygen with less energy to produce the same results. But now that person's using not using as many calories, so staying on the same calorie diet that they were using, they started getting a little bit fatter on the waistline because they weren't changing things up. So I've always talked about shocking the body. You cannot just keep doing the same routines every single week, or machines, mixing things up with machines, dumbbells, barbells, any different type of range of motion, side lunges, front lunges, just anything you can to shock that body. And that's why I really like promoting yoga and Pilates as well. Because, someone who's so, fierce in the gym and doing the routine, they feel great. And they go take one yoga session or Pilates and they've never done it before, you are wiped out for days. And that just tells you're using different muscle fibers, it's a different modality. And you, it's probably the best thing you could have done that week is changing things up, because that's how your body reacts to all this stuff, is the more stimulus it gets, just like doing cold plunges, that's the whole thing of getting a new stimulus, longevity genes go in, your body needs to adapt and change, you'll get the better results.
Yeah, I like it. I can't remember if I asked you this last time, but I ask a lot of my guests this, and I especially want to ask you because you're fit, you're in your 40s now, and you interview all these experts in biohacking or whatever, and so you get to take some of their advice and try them out on yourself. So where you're at now, talk about your daily regimen. So what do you do as far as you talked a little bit about your working out, but what does the day look like as far as what you eat? What kind of diet are you on? And I ask this, but hopefully people know everyone's different. So kind of find out what works best for you. But with all these things you've learned, talk about what you eat, what your typical regimen looks like, maybe some supplements that you take from things that you've learned over the years.
Absolutely. No, I love talking about this, and I always do an episode probably once a month because I keep changing, keep finding new things that I want to try and add to the routines. But right now, I get good sleep, 7, 8 hours, wake up, and the first thing I do is go get hot water with some lemon juice and some ginger. So lemon juice to help alkalize your body, ginger to help with your digestion and inflammation. And then my next drink I'll put in there is it's a potassium powder. You know, I try to get as much supplements or minerals from real food, but it's just not going to happen with potassium for me personally. So I have to get a little potassium powder that has, you know, sodium, calcium, magnesium and trace amounts. And I'll mix that in with some essential amino acids. And I do the essential amino acids because all this is 0 calories. I'm doing fasting till about 12 p.m., but I still want to put a little bit of protein, and amino acids are kind of broken down protein peptides or however the science is behind it. But your body can still use that to help stave any, you know, muscle loss. So I'll do that. And you know, I've got a whole other source of supplements, you know, fish oils and vitamin D and that kind of stuff that I'm using as well. And I'll get to my first meal at lunchtime and I'll have a shake. And I do about 50 grams of pea protein because I'm allergic to whey and milk. So I do a pea protein isolate and I usually do about 40 grams. And I'll take that with just a tiny bit of olive oil just to get some fat in there. I put some fiber powder in there and I'll drink that and I'll go work out. And then I'll do my, you know, 30-minute really effective, efficient workout. I get back, you know, and this whole process is probably an hour now from drive time and all that. I'll immediately take that same shake again to get another 40 grams in. So I'm already 80 grams of protein, quality protein, right off the get-go. I'll wait a few more hours. I'll get some, try to go outside for a walk, get a little bit of sunlight. And then when I come back, I'll do about 3 eggs. Some nutritional yeast for some selenium. Just I found out that I was a little deficient in that, and some more fiber. So whatever veggies I can find. After that, I'll have some nuts. You know, real low carb nuts. So usually pumpkin seeds mixed with I can't remember the other seed that I have, but it's super low carb for net carbs. And then I'll have some olives with garlic in them. And I do what's that stuff called? Bone broth. And I've just recently discovered I'm allergic to the beef broth because I'm allergic to beef.
Oh, wow.
Another fun little thing. I did one of those blood tests and saw that. And I've always suspected that as well. And that's another case in point to start listening to your body. If you start finding these things to food, you know, go research and see. But you know, the bone broth, a little bit more protein. I get some collagen out of it. There's some other benefits to bone broth as well. And then for dinner, I'll just have just meat and veggies. And I try to get, you know, the higher potassium veggies like Swiss chard, kale, spinach, kind of mixed with some onions and, you know, any other vegetables that I like. And then I'll finish off the night with another lemon juice and ginger hot tea.
What about for sleep? Any hacks other, other than the tea? You may have mentioned magnesium earlier, but anything else you've learned specifically for sleep?
Yeah, for sleeping, you know, I don't talk a lot about sleep because I've never had a problem with it. But just from all the experts that I've been talking to, and I feel like I'm getting a little deeper sleep since starting to take a magnesium supplement half in the morning, half at night, a few hours before bedtime, and I feel the difference. And also, I forgot to throw in the mix. I eat a handful of berries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, all low carb, you know, because I try to stay on low carb. But eating that more towards, you know, after dinner before I cut myself off from my final hour of eating, and just the antioxidant power of those berries at the last part of the night, just has a tremendous effect of having that deeper sleep and waking up just insanely refreshed. So,
Have you always kind of eaten lower carb, or is this something that you've done just in the last few years since, talking to people and learning more about it?
yeah, so I think I started doing more of the keto diet to start out, and I did that about 5 or 6 years ago. And part of the, I think I said that on our last podcast together. Part of the reason I was searching out, you know, things to help out with, you know, some depression issues from growing up, and you know, I didn't want to stay in that kind of mindset, and just kept hearing, you know, searching out for things. I kept hearing about the low carb diet, having the higher ketones. And so I tried it, and immediately after, I think a week, week and a half, completely gone. And I've never had any ounce of that come back ever. And it's been 6 years. So that's why I can never go back the other way. You know, what I lose is in size, you know, I don't have that much glycogen in me. So I don't have kind of that fullness bodybuilder look anymore. And I just don't care. I want to feel better. And since then, I've kind of adopted a little bit more carbs in my diet just to, you know, help with hormonal health. Also, I just, you know, you can't just cut everything. You know, I have a soft spot for chips and salsa. So I try to get the healthiest chips I can find and salsa. And that's kind of the only real carby thing I go after.
I'll still eat some carbs, more so of an evening. I don't eat a lot during the day, other than right when I get done working out, and so I'll kind of time it to get some of that glycogen right after a workout, and I'll usually throw a banana in my shake. But
Yeah.
anyway.
And you know, because I'm on this more low carb keto type diet, you know, I've always had the higher cholesterol, but also high the, you know, the good cholesterol elevated with it. And my triglycerides next to nothing. So, you know, the last
Perfect.
blood work I just had with my doctor, he's explaining to me the whole science behind that. And, you know, that's fine. You're burning fat for energy. That's why it's in your blood supply, as long as it's not getting stored there. So,
Well, tell us about any kind of notable guest or topics that you got coming up on your podcast that you can think of.
yeah, so a real cool one I had, I think maybe a week after we last spoke about. It was a supplement company referred to me, and it was a supplement called Spermidine.
Oh,
And
yeah.
basically, they find that in like sea moss or kelp or something. And basically, they've started looking at it because of the people in Okinawa, Japan. You know, everyone's looking at the centurions and trying to dissect their diets, and you know, they walk more than us, they get more sun than us, it's less stress. But as they keep finding more things, they think that, you know, this I don't even know what it is, an amino acid or something, maybe you can talk on it, but they've extracted this spermidine thinking that this is maybe contributing to some of their longevity. And you know, some of the things with, you know, cognitive function, you know, kind of boosting your longevity genes, and also reversal of grain of hair. So that's kind of what really stuck out to me, because you know, I'm 43 and I'm starting to see the pepper coming through my hair. And as soon as, you know, the host was talking about that, I'm like, I got to get him on my show, because maybe I can reverse some of this before it's too late.
No, that is a very interesting supplement. I've had an episode. It's been a while, but I've done that as well on spermidine. So yeah, that's a very interesting supplement. So, well, very nice. What anything coming up that maybe hasn't been released yet that you can, give us a teaser on?
Yeah, and another one coming up is I had someone from a company called JumpSport come on, and you know, those are rebounders or small trampolines, and basically talked about the science of, you know, they used to use these for or test them out on astronauts coming back down because they needed something a little bit more low impact that they could start building lean muscle back up and getting used to our gravity. And they were using science that the Germans had kind of used for how they were training their athletes, and you know, they were trying to make a product for the public here. And one of the coolest things about it is, you know, when you're doing rebounding, you can work out on these things. It's not just jumping. I mean, you could do sprints, you can do squats, you can do bicep curls while you're in a squat. The main thing on it is, you're taking 80% of the, you know, the force off your body by having these, not springs, they're like bands. So theirs was a little bit more efficient than, you know, what you can buy on Amazon. And for me, having gone through a couple back surgeries and really worried about like mostly leg day for me, you know, and you know, I talked about cutting half the weight out and doing the style I'm doing, to be able to start like running again and using something like this that could take 80% of that, you know, G force off your body. And so, you know, I got one of those, and that episode will probably be out soon. But I've been using it and building myself up of, you know, not only jumping, but doing back to going to wind sprints, and now wind sprints with a little weight vest on. And they're 100% correct, because when I used to jog and the feeling I would get after that from just hitting that pavement, and I've since quit doing that. I more walk now with a weight vest. To have something like that where I can really spike up my heart rate and get to that zone again, that zone three, this is just like a game changer. So that's
Interesting.
another huge thing.
What was the name of that?
It was called Jump Sport.
Well, very nice.
And
Well, anything else you want to throw out there that I didn't ask you before we start wrapping up?
One last thing, because one of the reasons I was kind of looking for something like that for jump sport, and I forgot to mention one of my hacks too, is as we age and we get past over 40 and even beyond, it's just the aging process is nothing we can do. We could slow it down, but one of the things that's the reason why we're not aesthetically looking like we used to, besides not moving as much anymore, and maybe we're not working out as efficiently, is the fact that we're losing more mitochondria in our body. And it's happening for a multiple of reasons, a couple I've just mentioned, but there's even more reasons than that. Doing more high intensity training is a way to start building those back up, or at least maintaining what you have. And so I've learned that with some people that came on my show, research I've done. And someone hears high intensity, they're like, oh God, I gotta do CrossFit. No, it's just doing something to get your heart elevated to that level. I mean, for some people, going upstairs could be that high intensity training. So, find stuff that works for you and you start working on it. So I learned, at least once a week, you got to add this in if you want to boost that mitochondria back in your body. And mitochondria are the energy sources of your cells. They're also the fat burning powerhouses of your body. So if you can spike that back up, that is why that at age 40, and you're doing the same amount of workouts, the same amount of running, the same amount of focus on your diet, you're not looking like you did in your 20s. That's one of the main reasons, is a lower mitochondria count. So you start boosting this up and focusing on that high intensity training, you'll start seeing some of that results and feeling of energy as well from when you were younger. So going back to that jump sport, for me, I have two back surgeries. I got to really watch what I do now. I can't really do too much high intensity stuff, and that feeling of pounding and gravitational force on my spine, and that rebounder has just game changed for me. So one of the things I've been doing is I'll do sprints for 30 seconds and then take a 30 second break and then just keep repeating. And since doing a few rounds of that, I've gotten myself up to about 12 rounds of all out 30 second sprints, and it's just taking my health and wellness just to a new level. So that's just another thing to think about.
Very nice. Well, okay. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, I always ask my guest if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today. What would you say to that?
I would say just start getting ingrained in health and wellness. If you've been thinking about this and you want to make a change, you got all it's almost February now. You got all the news resolution people that probably jumped in and probably are already falling out. And that's the reason. You got to get ingrained in this, and you can't do it all at once. So if you're thinking about making this change, do it slowly. Start adding things. That's a better way of building healthier habits, is just one thing at a time and master it. So until you can master, whatever you're doing, going to the gym 3 days a week, or your diet, or working on inflammation, do not add another thing on your plate until you have just, perfected that, and then start working on the next thing and ingrain yourself in it. Listen to podcasts, YouTube, watch shows, read books, because if you don't have that brain mind connection, it's you're not going to hold that motivation and accountability that you're going to need to stay on this journey.
Well, okay. Well, Brad Williams on Over 40 Fitness Hacks, and I believe that's the website, right? Over40fitnesshacks.com.
Yeah, 40, not spelled out.
And so I guess that's where people can reach out to you, find your podcast, any other ways that are you on other social media where people can reach out to you?
Yeah, pretty much it's just the podcast or my website. I'm not a huge social media guy, I never was. And
Yeah, good for you.
maybe someday I'll pay someone to
No,
do
yeah, I was going to say, yeah, don't get started on it. So,
it.
yeah, good for you. Well, very nice. Well, thank you for coming back on the show. And encourage everyone to check out his podcast. Again, I will be on there at some point. Appreciate everyone listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.